Listen. Think. Learn. Grow. Listen. Think. Learn. Grow. Live. Live. Live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, February 4th already. I can't believe it. My name is Michael Kelly. I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Well, good evening, Michael. You know, as always, I am so glad to be here, and it's the first Wednesday of the month, and Dr. Douglas is joining us tonight.
Looking very much forward to that. Looking forward to tonight's topic. Always want to thank everybody that joins us live in the chat. We always love catching up with you. We appreciate your contributions. And as always, I like to throw a shout out to those that catch up with us from the archives. We always appreciate you taking the time out of your week to listen to us and catch up and hopefully take something away. And we also do get your feedback and appreciate that too. Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this broadcast, ICMH offers other educational programs that can be found at metaphysicsinstitute.org and tfuniversity.org. And as always, before we dig into tonight's topic, we're going to go over our 9 abbreviated principles of belief. Those are, 1, do no harm, do right. 2, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4, we are all equal, one planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5, we recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6, we are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7. Self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will create self-completeness. 8. Metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And finally, 9. Expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. So, Dr. Vicki, as you said, we are so happy to have Dr. Doug Kelly with us. Welcome.
We are.
Hello, everybody. Good to be here with you all tonight. Hope everybody is doing well. We're going to talk about the two faces of entitlement. This is a topic I've been mulling over for 2 or 3 months, and I mentioned it in the past, but finally came to a little bit of fruition this week. So I put out the article to the student in the student newsletter to both IMHS and TFU, which offers some of the basic points. And I thought I'd delve into that tonight, maybe go a little bit deeper. And of course, then there's always the input from Dr. Vicki, Dr. Michael as well, which could add to it potentially.
Peanut gallery.
I rarely peanut have gallery. Any input.
Well, that's good. Then I'll have to carry it.
That's what I'm counting on.
All right. So, let's talk about entitlement. Normally, when we say entitlement, we all kind of know what that means. It means that people expect more than they've earned, and that's pretty much the definition of entitlement. It's often called self-entitlement. And so the simple definition is that people expect unearned privilege and treatment. That's the simple definition of it. There's some others. I'm going to read some examples and a more in-depth definition from Google AI on the search engine. All right, so I've been stuffed up tonight. Sorry about that. Don't know what that's all about. So Google AI says entitlement is a psychological state defined by an exaggerated, often irrational belief that one deserves special privilege, treatment, or rewards without earning them. It involves a sense of superiority, leading to chronic disappointment, unmet expectations, and high conflict when reality fails to meet these unrealistic demands. In essence, people who are entitled violate boundaries. You know, self-entitlement is a boundary violation. Some examples of entitlement, cutting in line, demanding special treatment from businesses, that kind of thing, disregarding the rules. If anybody's ever watched some of these police videos on Facebook or YouTube or wherever, you can see these criminals that are all about self-entitlement. In fact, criminal behavior is self-entitlement and anything that's like that. In relationships, expecting a partner to prioritize them above all else or demanding constant reassurance, that's smacks of boundary violations. In the workplace, expecting promotions without putting in the required effort or resisting constructive feedback. You know, it doesn't apply to me. People can't be wrong. They don't take any personal responsibility. That's another facet of entitlement. Some other signs of it are believing one is owed success or happiness without putting in any effort. Lack of empathy or ignoring the needs or rights of others. That's really what empowerment's all about. There's empowerment. Entitlement's all about, opposite of empowerment. Entitlement means I get this and I don't really care what you get or if you get nothing. And that's selfishness, which I'm getting to. Chronic dissatisfaction, feeling constantly frustrated or unappreciated because, you know, nobody perceives my brilliance. What's wrong with this world? Defensiveness, reacting with anger when faced with limitations or no. They cannot be told no because, you know, it's all about them. It's like people who exhibit unhealthy entitlement often act like toddlers who stomp their feet and throw temper tantrums when they don't get their way. And that pretty much put, you know, nail unhealthy entitlement. And again, it's the epitome of selfishness. People act this way, have no concern for the rights of others. They lack fellow feeling. They lack human compassion. They're also devoid of personal responsibility, as I mentioned earlier. Their minds, again, it's all about them. Their mindset is an aggressive mindset. It means I win, you lose. That is the position of aggressive people. Criminals such as thieves exhibit this, as I mentioned. They steal things from others that they did not earn or work for. And another demographic are bullies. Bullies fit into this model of unhealthy and negative entitlement. They will get what they want regardless of who they hurt. Remember, I win, you lose. That's the bully's motto. But there are some other behaviors, too, that you might not otherwise think are negative entitlement or unhealthy entitlement. That is passive behavior, passive-aggressive behavior, and codependent behavior. Passive folks have the I lose, you win mindset. They feel that others are more entitled than they are, and this is not healthy. Passive-aggressive people, they have the same attitude as aggressive, I win, you lose, but they just do it in a behind-the-scenes manner. They don't overtly act to get their way. They do it behind the scenes, but they do it. And codependent people, they have the I win, if you win mindset. Means that a codependent's welfare is contingent on others. And this is also an unhealthy behavior. So to sum up, unhealthy entitlement, simply the expectation of unearned privilege. And as mature adults, we should never behave in such a dysfunctional, irresponsible manner. Now, before I go on to the other face of entitlement, I'd like to invite comments from Dr. Vicky, Dr. Michael, and anybody in the chat room if they have them.
Well, if I may.
Please.
I don't know unless Michael had something to say right away, but this is separate from somebody having a psychological issue like narcissism or a sociopathic behavior. Because the selfishness and entitlement, if I understand this right, can just simply be because of how you were raised.
Yeah, it can. You know? But narcissists are still entitled.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. But I'm saying people can still have that entitled, privileged, you know, I'm special kind of syndrome without being diagnosed with some kind of psychological impairment, you know, or ability, don't you think? Like they can be separate. They don't have to fall into a category.
Well, it can be a learned behavior, of course. In fact, I would posit that it's all learned behavior. Mm. You know, unless you have a mental disorder.
Well, and I think
I was thinking like religion, for instance. You know, that's they think very often they're special. Like that's a privilege, or they think they have a privilege unto themselves.
Definitely.
So, yeah. Because I think sometimes with entitlement, we tend to think, oh, they've got some kind of, you know, psychological problem. If they get medication or go to a therapist, they'll be fine. And that's not always the case. Michael?
I was just going to say, I think I think it's definitely cultural, and I think it changes with the times. I think that in the modern era, I think we have a level of comfort that I think a lot of people, you know, kind of feel entitled to. We have rights that we feel entitled to and all things like that. It's all a spectrum of changes. And obviously tonight we're focusing on people that have an unearned sense of entitlement. But it is a thing where, you hit the nail on the head when you said the I'm special syndrome. I got to say, you know, there's something about only children, you know, people that grew up with, you know, being an only child. They can be some of the worst, I tell you. They're a bad bunch, them.
referring to anybody in particular, son?
No, I mean...
only child?
No, I joke, but it is kind of that thing where, you know, you know, obviously I never had this problem because I've never had any flaws, but there are people that, you know, they think the world revolves around them, you know, and that's the thing. I think the bottom line is people that they think that everything is about them. The world revolves around them. They are the center of the universe, and they don't quite get that every other person out there, you know, no matter what you think of them, no matter what, you know, you like about them or dislike, they're a universe unto themselves, you know. We all have such depths that nobody else will see, and we're all the main characters of our own story. I'm going to, you know, pick on pop culture right now. There's a, you know, a phrase going on called main character syndrome, which initially started out being like, oh, he's got main character energy, meaning they're confident. You know, it's all, you know, it's like the story's about them, and it's kind of devolved into people that have that, you know, entitlement mentality, that think they should be the center of everything. They think they should be the special ones. And now it's kind of used derisively. The other thing that a lot of people throw out is this thing called NPC. If anybody's not familiar with gaming terminology, Gen Alpha, Gen Z, NPC means somebody that's just a boring, normal person. And it's just so incredibly... correct. What's that?
Non-politically correct NPC?
No, non-player character is the term. I'm sorry if I didn't finish that thought. An NPC is a non-playable character. It's in a game when you have background characters that are playing a part, so they're not being played by humans. So when you say it in, especially in online discourse, you know, it's in like millennial through Gen Alpha discourse, it means somebody that's just unoriginal, boring, normal, you know, there's nothing too special about them, and it's thrown around derisively. But again, everybody's the main character of their own story. Everybody has the depths that, again, nobody else will really know. And it's that, people that think the world revolves around them. That's the entitlement syndrome right there.
You know,
all children are born entitled with a sense of entitlement. I mean, it's, you know, come on. We all have to have that in order to grow up. And the idea is to grow up to learn how to no longer be self-entitled.
Go ahead, Vicky. I feel like... I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, back in the day when you'd send your five-year-old to the coal mine, I feel like there was just a different environment.
Well, that's true, okay. I think. But you nailed on something right there, Michael, that a lot of people thinking they can do a podcast and just be famous. You know, that I'm going to be a social influencer, you know, when they've really got little or nothing to offer. Well, You know, it's just, I find that interesting. But, you know, Audra mentioned something in there. She was, she was a parent to an only child, and she worried about that. You know, Audra, I'll tell you, a friend of mine, I have a few friends who only had one child, who are all grown now. And there is this element of kind of entitlement to all of them. But I have three kids, and there's an element of that to them, too. But what comes to mind is a friend of mine who raised her son, and pretty strict. I mean, good parents, good home, never wanted for anything, but he had to work for what he got. He's still holding, 40-some years old, he's still holding a grudge against his mother for not giving him a car when he was 18 and graduated high school. You know, and I mean, that, I think it's the culture. You know, we're not out there hauling water just to survive or getting wood for the stove. We have a lot of vacant time now to be really selfish. So we have a lot of time on our hands.
I think peer groups are a huge part of that too. It has been anecdotal, but my perception that adolescents, they grow up around wealth, I'm thinking of, getting like private school. They're going to have a concept of what is normal, of what they should expect, of what they should be entitled to, that is completely separate from your working and middle class families. Like, again, the idea of getting a car when you're 18, it's insane just to be given a car. I mean, that's just ridiculous. I mean, now, that being said, I did get a car from two actually from my grandparents. But, I mean, they weren't, like, new cars. I mean, I loved them. I was so grateful for them. But my first car was a 1992 Ford Escort, and I loved that thing. But bottom line is, you know, like, to get a brand new car, to, like, somebody to go out and buy a car and put a bow on it and give it to them for their birthday or Christmas – that's insanity. But yet some people have that expectation. They feel entitled to it. And, you know, but I think they're...
Again, it's cultural, though.
Yeah, exactly. It's their peer group.
You know, there's a lot of other countries that don't have that kind of culture.
There's a lot of people in America that don't have that, or in the West in general. Working class and middle class people don't have that expectation.
Well, that's, I think, true. They can be influenced, you know, at school or... you know, by their peers. I think no matter, I've seen kids of really hard-working, ethical parents turn on their parents thinking, well, you were nothing, you know? And again, it's that influence of what you hear, especially now online and social media. Yeah. You know, it's...
There's a lot of nurture via nature, nature via nurture type of stuff going on, too.
Yeah.
Let's swing the conversation around to healthy entitlement, and then... You know, we can open it up to whatever else you'd like to include. So, obviously, healthy entitlement is the opposite of unhealthy entitlement. And this is not really something we probably think about a lot, you know, and there's not as many aspects to it, but there might be. You know, healthy entitlement, it simply means that all human beings are entitled to the same good things in life, the same as everyone else, no more, no less. You know, these folks understand that they must work for what they get. They must put effort in. They never expect to acquire things at the expense of others. That's a big difference. Healthy entitlement is unselfish. Looks out for others. People with healthy entitlement exhibit fellow feeling and human compassion. They accept personal responsibility. Their approach is, I win, you win. This is an assertive approach. And if you think about it in the business climate or in that arena, the ownership attitude is the same as healthy entitlement, or a part of it, because they don't expect anything that they haven't earned, but they do demonstrate a good attitude as if they were the owners. That means they take good care of their customers. And so you can see some of the different things that fall into healthy entitlement, and that's where we want to aim. We don't want to expect things that we didn't work for or earn. We want to help other people. You know, I posted something on Facebook today or yesterday about, you know, I want to see everybody win. It's, you know, I want to see everybody win. And I'm sure everyone listening to this feels the same way. You know, this is not a competition. There's plenty for everybody. So let's help each other. Let's help each other to win. Let's help each other to get along in life. and help each other along when somebody needs an extra little bit of help. That's the pay it forward concept. That's what we teach. That's what we preach. That's the work of metaphysical humanists, to pay it forward. And that is a part of healthy entitlement, because we understand that other people are entitled to the good things in life, the necessities of life. So we do what we can, and we don't rock the boat. We don't expect other people to lose out on things so that we can win, you know, climbing the ladder, as they say in business. You know, we don't want to do that. We don't want to climb over others to get higher. We want to help each other so that we all climb higher. So those are my thoughts on entitlement, and you guys can certainly chime in. I'm going to part company with you, but I do want to leave a thought in your minds, because next month I'm going to talk about a different philosophical question that I think is intriguing. And I'll leave it with everybody to ponder for the next 4 weeks, and we'll come back the 1st of March and discuss it. But I'll, of course, write about it in the weekly newsletter prior to that. So here's the question. I'll repeat it a couple of times. Are we bound by more than what divides us? Are we bound by more than what divides us? It's an interesting philosophical question, and it's actually part of a song lyric. David Arkenstone and Charlie Brooks, probably 12 years ago, the song is Slip Away. Look it up. Slip Away, Charlie Brooks. She sings it. I think she wrote it too, but that's a line in there, you know. We are bound by more than what divides us. So that's a question I got. I heard it today on the way to the doctor's appointment. You know, are we bound by more than what divides us? That's what I want to talk about in a month. So that being said, I will bid everyone adieu. I appreciate everybody tuning in to hear this, and including those who are listening to the archives. And I look forward to seeing you again in a month or so.
Well, I hope you're feeling better soon, Dr. Kelly, because sinus says it. Maybe it's just allergies.
Oh, it probably is, yeah. Mm.
You guys got cold down there in Florida for a while.
Oh, that's 28.5.
Yeah, we looked Fahrenheit. At -2 Celsius. That's chilly for Florida. Wow.
Yeah.
How often do you get to that temperature?
Not very often. It's been the coldest year I can remember.
Once or twice a year at best, but usually it's only it might get to like 32 or 30, but rarely below that. Wow. But we appreciate it while we have it, you know.
All right.
Yeah. Well, take care. Thanks for joining us, Dr.
Kelly. Thank you. Thanks to everybody. I appreciate you all. Take care. Good night.
Good night.
You know, it's a good discussion to have about what is entitlement, because, you know, I look around at this culture, this, you know, time we're living in, and honestly, I can only think about how grateful I am to have it, because, you know, I'm older, and I remember the times of not having all that we have. I'm just glad to have a toilet and running water.
Well, exactly. You know, and there are things, you know, I think that these are objective morality truths, but you could say that there are a lot of things that are subjective, but
I know.
The idea in the modern era, and this is something I wholeheartedly agree that we are all entitled to, is we are all entitled to be treated as humans and to be treated with dignity.
Exactly.
We are all entitled to live our lives free, as long as we're not interfering with somebody else's free choice and things like that, right? So we do have real entitlements. Now, these are relatively modern concepts. You know, the ancients would not have had the same idea of these kinds of entitlements. And that shows our growth, too. So,
And I think that every human being is entitled to food, shelter, clothing, and medical care.
And
you know, and a dog.
In fact, if anybody feels entitled to a dog right now, free shipping and handling, I'll poke some holes in the box and I'll get you one out.
Do you know that, I think it was back at the turn of the century, they figured out instead of sending a kid on a train, they put them actually in a box and mailed them. It was cheaper.
Yeah.
Put them in the postage.
I mean, it's logical, you know?
Hmm. Oh, but, geez, Wendy, she put in the chat she's home with the flu, and she's just listening to the show. She didn't want to miss Dr. Kelly. I hope you feel better soon, Wendy. That's not fun.
Yeah, I feel better soon. So.
I had a bit of a, you know, flu bug throughout Christmas holidays, so I've had worse, you know, but nobody likes to feel crappy, so.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, we do have some names in the chat to draw some cards, Michael.
We do.
For those who are new or listening in the archives, an Inner Oracle Self-Discovery card selected by Michael. And then I back it up with a tarot card and see if there's a little message there for somebody.
Mm-hmm. Sorry at the mic there, but absolutely. And I believe our first card of the evening is Katie, if I caught that right.
Yes, I think so.
All right. Welcome. Tonight you get number 19. It's in the spirituality suit. Invoke the counselor within. There are times to seek advice from others as a means of summoning your own truth, but the answers you seek lie deep within. Look there. This may be a time to remind yourself not to codependently surrender your power to anyone or anything outside of yourself. Always determine your own truth and live according to that path that is right for you. Hope that connects.
Boy, I got a double affirmation on that one for you, Katie. The Chariot. Like, you're in control of your life. You're the manager. And the Chariot likes to move forward, likes to get on with things. So when you have invoked the counselor within, is listen to your own voice, your own, you know, kind of story, and follow your path and move forward. And of course, there may be people around who don't understand it, you know, people who, you know, try to give you the negatives of it or things that hold you back. But one step at a time, keep forging ahead. And I see some, it's a really good energy. So I feel like the good things are ahead. Cool. I think we have Bettina next, Michael.
We do. And Bettina, I have for you our first wild card of the evening. Wild card number two, and then some. When you have reached your limits and believe you have done all that you can do, reach deep within to stretch to your true potential. Do a little more than is needed and go beyond what is required to make a positive difference. You can do it, and by doing so, you are leaving the woodpile a little higher than you found it.
Well, another wild card on my end. Empress. The Empress is a seed planter. You know, it's really symbolic of fertility and growth. And so when you give the and then some, you're bound to kind of plant your garden and get things going. I've said this before on the program that sometimes life takes a direction we hadn't expected, or it takes on an event that we hadn't counted on, but it's like one step closer. So we can't always know exactly how it's going to unfold, except keeping that goal in mind. So Bettina, putting in that little extra effort, don't give up. You know, it's like, you know, moving forward because you are planting the seeds, and growth is assured for sure. We have our Dr. Jeff, blind outdoorsman, for those who miss out in past programs.
And
Instagram, Facebook, sorry.
Oh, go ahead.
No, Instagram, Facebook, blind outdoorsman.
And
I gotta do it.
No, I know you have to do it. I completely support all shout outs to Dr. Jeff. But, and correct me if I'm wrong, did I see that you have a birthday coming up? Did I catch that? I want to say on Facebook, I saw it as an upcoming. I don't know. If you have an upcoming birthday, happy birthday to you coming up. If not, we can go ahead and bank that one for the future. But cool. That being said, Dr. Jeff, for you, I have wild card number 5, Don't Hate. Two wild cards back to back. A low energy signature refuses to learn more in order to better accept and understand others. Hate grows in this low frequency. The result is fear, demonstrated as the need to criticize and control others. This is how wars begin, whether it's in relationships, within families, or between countries. Understanding does not mean one has to agree. It means rising above the low frequency to do no harm, do right, to yourself and others.
Well, considering Jeff is in the middle of Minneapolis, Minnesota these days, you know, there's an aura or air of energy that, man, it might, you know, get my dander up a time or two. But the Six of Clubs is like there's a good thing at the end of this. Like there's a good kind of outcome. So not to take certain things personally and don't let it settle, negative energy settle too much in you. The Six of Clubs is change is coming. It's on the way. And by the way, somebody has put in a nomination that the city of Minneapolis get a Nobel Peace Prize. How about that, Michael? So, you know
I've had,
strange things happen.
I got an aunt in Minneapolis now. Had a lot of family in Minnesota because, you know, I came up in South Dakota.
Yeah.
We had family in Minnesota all the time. I've been to Minneapolis on several occasions and just wishing everybody there safety and peace and, you know, liberty.
Yes.
And it is Dr. Jeff's birthday on Sunday, the big 5-4, which isn't really that big. It's a little big. It's a little 5-4. You're like halfway there.
Well, I might say by the cycles of life and, you know, there's 7 52-day cycles in a year, and it corrects on the leap year. But the 52 days prior to the birthday is what we call the devolution, the de-evolving time, you know, the winding down time. And there's a whole energy to that. But right after your birthday, that 52 days after the birthday is, you know, that evolution time. It's an excellent time for PR, socializing, putting your name out there. Just that whole energy changes. So you can look forward to that, Jeff. You know, things are really shifting. Jeff has a great following on TikTok, by the way. You know, it's just still up and coming, trickling in the other social formats. But I think Jeff might just explode on the internet, Michael. Social media, you never know.
Well, you have our support, to tell you that.
That's for sure. All right, I think we have Dawn next.
All right, let's see. Don, for you tonight, I have number 11, awareness. Every human being has the responsibility to increase their awareness for fulfillment and peaceful coexistence. People generally do the best they can according to their current level of awareness, knowledge, experience, and resources. This card may indicate that an increased awareness in an area is needed. Continue to increase your awareness of yourself and others through observation, acquired knowledge, and has always a positive attitude.
Hmm. Well, I pulled two for you, Dawn, because I was a little puzzled. The first one was the King of Wands. So that King of Clubs generally is about a male energy of, and with awareness to a male energy. It could be somebody you're trying to understand, get along with. Could be a coworker. Could be, you know, somebody in your personal life. But then I said, well, what's that about? And I got the Page of Cups. Pages are always communicators. Now that Page of Cups is matters of like from your heart. So it's really about being able to articulate in communication to better understand other people and yourself. So if you don't understand what somebody's saying, it paraphrase back. I understood you to say, is that correct? And so it's just being more aware of, you know, that dynamic. So it might be a bit of a learning curve here for you, but it's really positive in that it's the cups of the hearts with this page. And so, you know, we all go through our learning curves, especially learning to communicate with others. Mm. The one thing I am inclined to want to say to you, though, is, and not just you, anybody, believe people in what they do and what they say. And don't try to think, well, oh, they really mean this. Oh, mm-hmm. oh, they must mean that. Because that's filtering through our own processing and how we think. You have to take it for face value. And if you need to mirror it back, you know, say, that's what I understand you to say. That's what your actions tell me you're doing. And then see where it goes from there to get a better footing or at least a better awareness and understanding. Mm-hmm. Make sense, Michael?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Usually what people present the first time around is what it is. And I've been just as guilty of in my life saying, well, I don't get quite what they're saying. They must mean this because that's my filter. And the wanting to believe that every human being wants to be better is an error because it's not true.
Well,
and that's the hardest thing to shake, really. I think, as especially when I went through my 30s and 40s, it's yeah. Not everybody thinks they need to evolve.
Isn't that the truth? You know, I'd say that I think everybody wants to be better, but a better what? I think some people want to be a better slacker. Some people want to. I want to be a better slacker. I'll say that. I work on it every day. Some people want to be a better manipulator. Some people want to be a better con. You know. I think it's choosing the right thing to be better at, which is, I think, better at awareness in life and empathy.
Yeah.
But I'm just joking around. But I don't think we have anybody else for a card tonight.
Yeah, oh.
No.
You're forgetting Audra.
I don't think so. I don't think she put her name in tonight. But I can't. It's a running joke. But Audra, I get number two for you tonight. It's in the Life Leadership Paragon Suit Self-Acceptance, and I don't know that we pulled this one in a while, Esteem and Validation. Self-esteem is self-worth based on internal expectations and validation, not to be confused with them-esteem, which is self-worth based on external expectations and validation, or what others think. High self-confidence is not the same as high self-esteem. Self-validation is the highest regard you give to yourself. Fully experience the truths of your own path.
Wow, I was a little confused because as male energy comes up, esteem, validation, I got the King of Hearts, the King of Cups, and I'm thinking, well, what's that about? You know, because we know that Audra's pretty good about, you know, being certain about who she is and what she's doing. She wouldn't need that validation from somebody else. So I pulled another one, and it's the the Ten of Pentacles. I'm going to the workplace. You know, sometimes flattery is not flattery. That's the first thing I'm inclined to want to say to you, Audra, where somebody is very flattering, but it's also to see how you respond. And you can say, well, thank you very much, but we're getting the work done. So don't take flattery on too much, or think the source should be trusted, because not everybody is sincere. I'm being very careful how I say this. Esteem and validation. You know what you're doing. You know you're doing a good job. And, of course, everybody likes a bit of an accolade, an acknowledgement. That's natural. But when somebody goes too far making promises, it's the wait and see. Mm-hmm. So show me. It's more like show me the money. That's where I get that Ten of Diamonds. Well, if I'm doing a great job, you're making more money. I'm going to, you know, throw some my way. I don't know. Something like that. But the first thing, ordinarily I would look at this and say, whoa, that's really positive. But, you know, it's the feeling, Michael. You know, it's that feeling that goes with it that Audra says, flattery from manipulation. I hear you. Yeah, that's basically what I'm saying. So just a caution. You're doing fine. Just, you know who you are, and you're doing a good job. And, yeah. Just for a moment, Michael, I think Audra has worked really hard these last 2 or 3, 4 years and to get where she is now and doing really well. So I think it's going to take more than somebody trying to bat their eyelashes at her to knock her off her block, you know? And so.
Well said.
Anyway, I don't see any more cards now, Michael, but
I think that is it for tonight. Just a quick run through. I think we're good. Yep, I'm going to say yes.
Yeah, okay. You know, this is a really good discussion tonight, and thanks to Dr. Kelly for coming on. You know, when it comes to entitlement and privilege, we would all do well to check in with ourselves once in a while. And, you know, what is a healthy entitlement? Like, I worked for this. I earned it. I'm entitled to that piece of paper. You know, I worked for this. I'm entitled to this. I, you know, and that makes sense. But the if you haven't worked for it, what makes you think you deserve it? You know, it's a caution. You know, I think it gets away in all of us, Michael, and we kind of lose sight of gratitude. You know, that's kind of where I'm going with that.
Well, I completely agree. I think that, I don't quite know how to say it, but I think that one of the unfortunate things about life is that people that have not experienced a lot of pain, a lot of suffering, you know, they don't always understand some things. They don't understand sometimes the stakes, and I think a lot of times that can lead them to have unrealistic expectations about life and what people are automatically entitled to. Whereas people that have had a rough run of it, they know the ups and downs, right? They know how low it can be and how, you know, how to treasure what they have and that feeling of gratitude. So that's just
well, and there's a flip side to that is some people have come from a great amount of suffering, shut it out, do well, and think, boy, if everybody just worked as hard as I did, you would have this, you know, I mean, with that loss of empathy and sympathy that goes with, you know, remembering where you came from. I don't think there's anybody here listening that hasn't had some amount of suffering. Matter of fact, well, I would bank on it.
That and, suffering, you know, is... I'm sorry, go ahead.
It's relative. Okay. Suffering is relative. Whether it's physical suffering, emotional, mental, you know, some struggle along the way. But we have to remember that and give us... We're entitled to feel credit for ourselves. You know, I'm entitled to give myself a little credit and feel, yeah, you know. But remember that others are too, and to have that compassion and that empathy for others and never lose sight of that. No matter how big and powerful and rich you get, always remember where you came from.
Yeah, very well said. Just that feeling of gratitude. I mean, that's why, you know, we're going through a lot right now. And as we kind of wrap up, kind of start our goodbye for the evening, I just want to say, you know, I think... again, you talk about gratitude, and that hit a chord with me. So I'm just going to say, be appreciative for what you have. Understand that, yeah, we are going through a tough time right now, but we've been through worse. We will get through this, and we will find our way. And, you know, the arc of history doesn't always automatically bend towards justice on its own. We're all going to have to do a part to be a part of the change we want to see in the world, to quote, I think, Gandhi. And, just go out there and be the best version of you that you can be. Be a positive influence. Realize the world doesn't revolve around you. It revolves around me. I'm kidding. But those are my final thoughts. Dr. Vicky, what do you have for us?
That's why we love you so much, Michael. You have a good sense of humor.
I try.
No, it doesn't revolve around you.
wait. This is the first I'm hearing of this, but go on.
Yeah, no, it's fun. Don't let them push you around out there, people. Don't let them knock you off your game or change who you are. Fight the good fight whenever the warrior spirit comes up, and, you know, stay out of harm's way and do your best. That's all.
I love it. Well, can't wait to have you join us next week. We'll have to think of something good to talk about. Give you a heads up in our email. Keep an eye out for that with the topic announcement. And but can't wait to see you all. And until we meet next week. Think, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone.